What's going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers after a loss last night to the Chicago Bulls? The Lakers are off to a great start, but hey, they've struggled a little bit. They've needed overtime twice to get to where they are. Can the Suns challenge them in the Pacific Division? We're going to talk about that and much, much more coming up on this podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Adam Azer and Greg Urbano. He is the CBSSports.com NBA producer, and we are ready to rock your world with NBA news, notes, storylines, everything you need to know. What's going on, Greg?
Not too much. Just enjoying the early part of the season. Kind of keep an eye on some of the teams that we thought coming into the year were going to be towards the top of their conference, and they're not. Looking at a team like the New Orleans Hornets, who are struggling at this point. But you got to believe in Chris Paul, the way he's been playing early. You got to think that team will turn things around. Out east, I like a lot of things that I'm seeing. Particularly, I would like to point out Brandon Jennings having a great rookie season with the Milwaukee Bucks. Looks like a guy who went overseas and really used that year of experience for his betterment and really improved his play. And that looked like a journey well taken.
Yeah, so far so good for a guy that wasn't even that great out in Europe last year, but man, he's turned it on with the Bucks. Now, on this podcast, we're going to tell you about some of the best rookies in the NBA thus far. We're going to look at some of the scoring. It is on the rise, and we have a few guys who are really tearing it up, and we'll look at the top players and top scorers. We're also going to give you power rankings. And first, news and notes. And Greg, you mentioned the Hornets. Some somber news coming out of New Orleans. Owner George Shin, he said today, which is Friday, November 6th, he said today that he has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. He is staying optimistic. He says he's healthy right now and keeping a positive outlook, so we certainly wish him the best as he battles that disease. Some more news and notes from around the NBA. Kevin Martin killing Greg's fantasy team with a hairline fracture in his wrist. He could be out 6 to 8 weeks. Now, right now, and by the time you hear this, he may have already made his decision, but right now he's thinking about different alternatives. Does he have surgery and go out 6 to 8 weeks? Does he put a soft cast on the wrist and risk breaking it further and try to play through the pain? We don't know, but this is significant for the Kings.
The wrist in general, even when it's not your shooting wrist, is a dangerous break to have. It's something that blood flow is not always going to. It's an area where really the surgery seems to be, from what I've known and from the experience that I've seen of other players and other people who have wrist injuries, the surgery seems to be the way to make sure in 8 weeks you're ready to play. You could do the soft cast route, and you're not going to be assured 8 weeks from now that you're going to be on the court at all. So right now I think Kevin Martin has a huge decision to make. It's one that, as a team that doesn't look like a playoff team, I don't see any reason to say to him, hey, go out there, risk getting it injured worse.
Right.
Just put up some big numbers. You know, he's number three in the league right now, unfortunately, in scoring for that team. He scores 30.6 per night right now for a Sacramento Kings team that really, really needs offense. So they're going to struggle without him, but I do think the best route for a young guy who really has a whole career to look ahead of, you know, take this, you know, go ahead, have the surgery, heal up, and within, you know, 7 to 8 weeks, you can see him back out on the court, and he'll be full strength.
And former NBA center Chris Dudley, one of the worst free-throw shooters ever to live, he is considering running for governor in Oregon. That could be fun. Staying out west, the Lakers. Couple of injury notes. Pau Gasol still not playing, nursing that hamstring injury. He is getting frustrated. But Andrew Bynum, he's been good in his place. However, strained his right elbow and probably not going to play tonight, which, again, is Friday. Now, in the Western Conference, I'm moving over a little bit, a couple time zones. Memphis, Allen Iverson. Took him one game, Greg, to start complaining about his role. He doesn't want to be a sixth man. He wants to start. You put him in over Conley or what?
I don't. I need to see first, you know, if you look at Conley, I don't see anything from him that makes me say I need to pull him and put him on the bench. So until he does something that says, okay, he's not a starter, he's your starter. And Allen Iverson right now needs to realize he's at a point in his career that he's just not the top guy anymore. And it's unfortunate for him because you see him fight and say, well, you know, if you look at my track record, if you look at my resume, well, that's true. But if you're a Hollywood actor,
you're a different player right now, buddy.
You compare NBA players to many, many different you know, jobs that you could have out there. And you look at Hollywood actresses and say, oh, they have a great track record. But guess what? They age.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be in the movie that's the top grossing film
anymore.
Jamie
Lee Curtis isn't going to be playing the lead role in the new horror movie.
Megan Fox
anymore.
Is here now. So
exactly.
there are always there's something younger and better behind you, especially in sports. That's just how it is. And he needs to accept that this is the guy he is. But the thing about it is he can be a very good sixth man. In the second game for Memphis, the game after he complained, he came out and had a great game, put up good numbers in a limited amount of time. And I feel like he's a player that if he bottles that energy and explodes in the minutes that he's out there on the court, in limited minutes, he can have a big impact.
Allen Iverson, you are Jamie Lee Curtis. We still enjoy you, but you're a little bit past your prime, and you need to recognize that. And our last note before we get into it, Manu Ginobili, we saw him hit the bat. He's getting rabies shots right now. That was probably a pretty dumb decision.
Was it worth it? Do we know? But you know what? He looked like a hero. He looked like a tough guy. I'm sure a lot of ladies said, you know what, man, you stepped up. You took the bat down. So you know what, man? I say good move. It was worth the rabies shots to prove you're a tough guy.
How about we talk about the standings? Right now, we'll go with the Eastern Division, the Atlantic. Boston is 6-0. They already have a three-game lead over the rest of the pack. Chicago is 3-2, and Cleveland is 3-3 in the Central. Now, that's something we need to talk about because on Thursday night, Chicago went to Cleveland and handed the Cavs their second loss already at home this season. That's how many they had all of last year. In the Southeast Division, Atlanta, Miami, and Orlando are all 4-1. These three teams are off to great starts. I'm particularly surprised about Atlanta, especially now that they have Jamal Crawford, who is the playoffs curse. They look like he's finally going to end that streak, that terrible streak he has. Never been to the playoffs. In the Southwest Division, out in the Western Conference, Dallas and Houston are 3-2. I like the Rockets. They are a gritty bunch. You are not going to outwork them. You better bring your A game, or else Houston's going to embarrass you.
Yeah, that's one of the things I said before the season started about Houston, is that you know every night they're going to give it 100%, and they're going to come at you with a great game plan. Coach Rick Adams is one of the most underrated coaches in the league. He's one of the guys that if there's no Phil Jackson, he would be at the top or top three of the list of coaches. And right now, he's making them play like a team. There's no one guy that's doing it every night. Trevor Ariza right now looks like the guy who's kind of stepping up as the lead on that offense. But if you looked at the Lakers game late down the stretch there, he was pretty much taken out of the game by Kobe, and they survived in other ways because, again, Rick Adelman can find a way to get guys to put up production. You don't see a guy like Chuck Hayes being a productive NBA player every night, but there are nights where he goes out and realizes, okay, tonight I have to put up 14 and 14. And then you get Carl Landry coming off the bench doing the same thing. So he gets effort every single night, and you know, when these guys, they're professional basketball players. If you get 100% effort out of them, they can beat anyone on any given
night. But it's hard to get 100% effort out of professional basketball players every night, but Houston, they bring it. They know they have to. Northwest Division, the Denver Nuggets are 5-0, so the Nuggets and the Celtics are the only undefeated teams as of now, and Carmelo Anthony right now would probably win the MVP. If the award were given out after five games, but of course it usually isn't. This year's no exception. The Lakers, 4-1. So is Phoenix out in the Pacific Division. And the Suns, their only loss coming recently on the road, and they've been really good. They lost to the Magic, but I watched them play the Heat earlier this week, and it was a close game. They actually trailed going into the fourth quarter, and then they went nuts. And their offense is back, Greg, and they look like the Suns of old. Steve Nash, double-digit assists per game. He's another guy that might, you know, win the early season MVP. I like the Suns.
Absolutely. If you look at Steve Nash's numbers compared to his MVP seasons, they're right up there. And, in fact, his scoring is even higher. He's scoring 19.6 per game right now. In his second MVP season, he averaged a career-high 18.8. So I expect the scoring to go back down to his average numbers of around 16 or 17 per game. But the assists, as you said, he's still at number one in the league right now, 10.8 per game. And he just looks like one of those guys who everyone writes off every year thinking he's going to be old, he's going to be worn down, he's not going to be the same guy. Well, he works harder than anyone. And I compare him to someone like Jerry Rice, who's never the fastest, never the most athletic, but he always worked harder. So Steve Nash takes that criticism every offseason, and he turns it into, you know, really a guy who comes in the best shape seemingly every single year he steps out on the court. And this is a guy, I don't see him faltering as far as this season or the next. And this is a guy who for the most part, like you said, he's going to be in the MVP discussion, and we'll see how well the Suns can do and how high they end up. And that'll, of course, pretty much make him either number one or two if his team is a top three team in the West. But, you know, as long as this team is running that pick and roll, Steve Nash and Amar'e Stoudemire, and as long as both of those guys are healthy, they're going to win games.
Yeah, well, Stoudemire, his health is always a concern. He's got the goggles on. He had the detached retina. 19.2 points per game, 8.6 rebounds right now. Barbosa, 15.7 points per game. Channing Frye, who's just bombing three-pointers. What does he have? I think 15 this year. Yeah, he has 15 threes this year, 14.6 points per game. Grant Hill, 14 points per game. Jason Richardson, 12.3. So that is six guys averaging double figures for a team that's scoring over 110 points a game. They are clicking right now. And they've already had to come out east, and they've done a decent job. So moving on, let's look at some of the best scorers in the league, Greg. There's a lot of talk about the rims and if that's helping you know, I read an article today, the Spurs were quoted as saying they didn't really think it was helping much. They didn't really think there's too much of a difference. There are new rims this year. And, you know, it wasn't really talked about until we saw this scoring spike. What do you think is going on right now?
The scoring spike was actually short-lived, though, after I believe there was one night where the scoring was down and the league average itself dropped dramatically by almost 3 points. So whether or not it's going to continue like this is up for debate. But the new rims, some people say they're softer. Some people say you get a better bounce off the front of the rim, a more forgiving bounce. That could have something to do with it. You know, right now, I think a lot of it probably just has to do with the conditioning of the athletes these days. There's no real off-season for a lot of these guys. They come in ready to play game one. And I think the preseason obviously helps them get rounded into shape. And teams are coming out and they're scoring and they're getting back to a more high-paced style of play. If you look at it around the league, there's not many teams that like to slow down game. A lot more teams are picking up that pace, kind of running how Phoenix used to, or Phoenix really still does, and coming with that new style of offense. And that's why the scoring is going up. I wouldn't say it's the rims in particular, but there's also some great players who are putting up points in ways they didn't used to. If you look at Chris Paul, he's not a 30-point-per-game guy traditionally, but right now he is. Chris Bosh right now at 29.5, that's higher than any mark of his career. So,
do you know what Chris Paul is shooting from the field this year? 64.3%.
Crazy for a point guard.
Unbelievable. So we look at the scores right now, and through this first little bit over a week, a little bit less than a week and a half, Kobe Bryant leads the way, 33.2 points per game. Carmelo Anthony is at 32. Kevin Martin, now injured, at 30.6. Chris Paul at 30. So four guys at 30 or more. Chris Bosh, 29.5. Dwayne Wade, 29.2. How about Gilbert Arenas, Greg? 27.6 points per game. And when you look at him, yeah, he looks pretty darn legit.
It looks like he has the explosion back. When he runs the fast break now, he attacks the defender. That's one thing about Gilbert Arenas you'll notice. If there's a defender in front of him on the break, he will run at that guy and make him make a move and really attacks the defense as a whole this year, the way he's driving to the lane. So, you know, anytime he's healthy, I feel like he'll always be towards the top of scoring. And right now he looks healthy. Let's just hope he can stay healthy all year.
I don't think he's a point guard. I've never thought he's a point guard. And until they really make him a shooting guard, I'm not sure the Wizards can go that far.
Well, right now they're you know, missing Anton Jameson. If he comes back, I don't think they're a team that's going to contend for the title when you have the Boston Celtics and the Cleveland
Cavaliers. No, of course not the title.
But this is a team that can scare you on any given night and can win a lot of games and win games that they shouldn't necessarily win.
All right, well, speaking of scoring, LeBron James only 25.2 points per game, which brings us to our power rankings. And on the website, the power rankings said Celtics 1, Magic 2, Lakers 3, Nuggets 4, Spurs 5. What's your top 5? What do you think of this?
I actually like that top 5 a lot. Maybe the Magic could get a little bit more love, but again, the Celtics are looking so good.
Oh, there's no doubt the Celtics are number
one right now. They're so good right now.
Best defensive team. Kendrick Perkins is leading the league in blocks. Rondo leading the league in total steals. Not steals per game, but total steals. The Celtics have got to be number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Rondo, some of the amazing things that he's doing this year. Again, you said number two in assists. He's a 4.1 assist to turnover ratio right now, which is actually number one in the league in the guys that are the top 20 in assists. If you compare that 4.1 to some of the other great point guards, Steve Nash right now is at 2.57, Deron Williams 2.93, Jason Kidd at 2.53. So 4.1 for Rondo. He's doing everything they wanted and expected from him, and he's a big reason they're where they are right now. I think the coaching is another big reason, and the way that the whole team just gelled, and they gel no matter who is really playing or who's healthy. They seem to really know how to play the game, and it's fun to watch right now. Boston just really dismantled teams.
So what do you think about the Magic? Magic off to a great start, only one loss so far. Vince Carter, already a little bit hurt. It's always a concern with him. Rashard Lewis still not playing, but maybe most underrated player in the league, Ryan Anderson, filling in beautifully for Vince Carter. He can hit threes. He can do a little bit of dirty work. Filling in for Rashard Lewis. Do a little dirty work down underneath in the glass. And, yeah, the Magic, they are proving that they were not a fluke last year. They're not a one-year wonder.
Stan Van Gundy knows who he has. He has Dwight Howard, and then he needs to give Dwight Howard shooters. And David Anderson, as you said, has been doing a great job filling in for Rashard. But when Rashard does come back, I feel like he's going to have, just like he has in the last couple of years, a very big year from beyond the line, from beyond the arc. And this is really a team that feeds off the three-point shot. So they're going to get even better when he gets into the lineup. And I'm really looking forward to him coming back. Even with Vince on the sidelines, I think getting Rashard Lewis, I think right now for an impact on that team. Rashard Lewis has a huge impact on the way other teams defend the paint and also, of course, then defend out to the three-point line. So it's going to be big for them to get him back.
Now, when I was doing my power rankings and I was trying to come up with my own top five here, I agreed Celtics won. I flip-flopped the Lakers and the Magic. Now, here's a question. What are power rankings? Are they right now who is the best, or are they everything considered? Right now who's the best, but also in our minds in the long run, which teams do we think are the best?
Well, obviously there's a little bit in this ranking of what we think they're going to do because the Cavs sit at number six, even though they don't have as good a record as some of the teams that are below them. We know they have LeBron, so we say, okay, they're still the sixth best team because at any night, he can go off for a 50-point triple-double, which he might do tonight at MSG.
Yeah, probably will. So we, quadruple-double, perhaps.
So when you look at a team like the Cavaliers and sitting there at number six, it is a little bit of saying this is what they can be. So the power rankings right now, it's a little bit of both. I think once we get 40 games into the season, we forget about what they could be. And we know, okay, these are the teams out of the top 10 all the way down to the bottom.
Well, then let me continue because I've got the Lakers ahead of the Magic right now, even though the Lakers have gotten off to a slow start because they're not at full strength. And when Pau Gasol gets back, they're going to get so much better. Huge problem for the Lakers, three-point shooting. They're shooting 32.1% as a team, but it's just not really a strength of theirs. Kobe is 3 of 13 from downtown. Fisher is 3 of 14. Artest is 8 of 23. The only guy who's really shooting well is Shannon Brown, who's 3 of 6, and he's not off to a blistering start, you know, in other areas. But I think when Gasol gets back, the shots are going to be a lot easier, and the threes will come, you know, more often and in bigger spots, and I think they're going to get better. And I think the thing that the Magic are missing right now, when you talk about a roster and you look at who their best player is and it's Dwight Howard, the problem with having your center, who's not a good free throw shooter, as your best player is who's going to take the shot down the stretch, who's going to take the big shot. And Vince Carter, to me, is just too erratic and has never been a good enough shooter where I'm going to trust him over some of the guys that are on the Lakers to take the big shot, which is why I would have the Magic 3 and the Lakers 2. If they played right now, I think that could be a deciding factor.
That's the biggest difference between Vince Carter's game and Hedo Turkoglu's game. Hedo excelled in those moments. He loved taking that last shot. He would almost always be able to get that.
Oh, Carter loves taking the last shot.
He loves taking it. Loves
the last five shots.
Not nearly as effective overall in his career so far. But when you look at, again, Rashard coming back, they don't necessarily have to have that guy. They just have to have that play. They have to have a play in mind where they can get either some sort of dribble penetration or use Dwight in a way where they're not going to foul him and put him on the line, but he's going to somehow open up a lane or open up a three-point shooter. And Stan Van Gundy's that good of a coach where if it does come down to the end, he'll know what guy that night will deliver the shot.
Your thoughts on the Nuggets? I would also have them at number four. And, hey, they are undefeated. And, hey, they have Carmelo Anthony and they have Chauncey Billups. Are they good enough this year to take the next step and maybe win a championship?
They're a tough team, and that's the one thing you can say about them. And any team that's as tough as they are can win a championship. And that's what you need, the tough defense, and you need to score. And Carmelo Anthony's proven that he can score. And the other guys on that team, you got to love Ty Lawson coming off the bench right now, giving great minutes when Chauncey's not on the floor. And that's something that they really struggled to find.
He's having a great start.
They struggled to find that last year when Chauncey went to the bench. So the team in general has a deep bench and is one that's going to be there all year. It just, again, it turns out in playoff time where a guy like Kobe Bryant can really, really take over the game. Let's see if Carmelo can be that guy this year, and that'll be a great series to watch again.
And then, of course, in our power rankings on the website, the Spurs were number five. I think the Suns are better than the Spurs right now. I think the Cavs, in the long run, will be better than the Spurs. Maybe they just haven't figured out how to get Richard Jefferson involved. He's only got 12.2 points per game. But watching the game against Utah last night, Thursday night, they didn't look so good. And right now I'm not 100% sold on the Spurs.
I think Tony Parker's gotten off to a little bit of a chippy start. He got somewhat injured early on in the season. I would expect his game to step up, and that just makes the team that much better. So I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to fall out of the top four in the Western Conference this year. But they do definitely need to get Richard Jefferson going in order to be a threat every night.
Now, let me ask you this, moving on to our next little segment here on this podcast. Which player's return will be more important to his team? Pau Gasol or Rashard Lewis? We're talking about the two teams in the NBA Finals last year, Gasol to the Lakers, Lewis to the Magic.
I talked a little bit about Rashard earlier, and I do think that's a big, big addition to that team because, again, it completes the team that Stan Van Gundy put together. To have that guy out there at the power forward position who can really hit any shot, and especially that corner jumper. But for the Lakers, you know, you mentioned the three-point shooting has been lax, and it will get better when Gasol is in there, because you do have to double-cover Gasol when he has the ball in the paint. If you watch the Lakers, they don't double Bynum. And for some reason, when they played the Rockets, the offense ran through Kobe every time. Now, I'm not going to say you don't. That's the bad idea, because, of course, he's an incredible player. But Bynum rarely got the ball in the fourth quarter, then, and also in overtime. And you can just tell right now they're not running the offense the way they did last year, which is to get it to Gasol, let him really establish that threat, and then it opens everything else up.
Right.
So when Powell comes back, that really makes that team just from top to bottom what I would see as unbeatable in defensively, the shot-blocking presence, the rebounding presence, all that. I mean, his addition to that roster is going to make them the top team.
Yeah, and the way that Ryan Anderson is playing, 15.8 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, again, replacing Rashard Lewis. I don't know that his impact is going to be nearly as big as Pau Gasol's. I think Gasol will have a much, much bigger say on things when he does return. I know he's frustrated and he wants to get back, and hopefully he will soon. And hopefully the Lakers won't be without both Bynum and Gasol for too long. But you know what? They're good enough to win shorthanded. They certainly are. All right, moving on. Let's look at the rookies. We talked a little bit about Brandon Jennings. Other guys that are impressing. Johnny Flynn, still doing his thing for Minnesota. The first night of the season for Johnny Flynn, it was like an eye-opener. This kid's going to be really good, and he's still off to a really good start. I mean, 26 minutes per game, 13.8 points per game, nothing compared to Brennan Jennings, who's at 22 points per game. But you got to like Flynn.
Flynn's shooting 90% from the line also, which is what you want your point guard to do, because he has the ball in his hand during crunch time. So he's the guy that's getting fouled when they have a small lead, and he's the guy who can get to the paint when they need to get back in the game. So Flynn right now has proven that he is the type of point guard that he looked like in Syracuse. People wondered, is his team really making him look that good, or is he this good? And there's no doubt that Johnny Flynn right now is an NBA point guard for a long time to come. Also there, again, like I mentioned earlier, Ty Lawson's looked absolutely great. Right now, he's at 11.8 points per game, and he's coming off the bench, whereas Johnny Flynn right now is a starter in Minnesota. So right now, Ty Lawson, to me, is making the most of the limited time that he has out on the court. But, of course, like we said, number one right now in our list for rookie rankings is Brandon Jennings, who is just lighting up the league at 22 points per game as a rookie. But you look next to that number, he's got 4 rebounds and 5.3 assists. He's doing everything you expect from a guy. And at that level of athleticism that he has, put on some bulk on this kid, and he is going to be a dominant point guard, not just a very good point guard.
Yeah, we also like Terrence Williams out of New Jersey, 11.2 and 5.2 in points and rebounds per game. Stephen Curry, 6.7 assists per game. All these point guards we talk about, he's got more than Jennings or Flynn, and by a pretty significant margin. And Curry is a guy that the Warriors really need to share the ball, because they don't have a lack of scoring. They have a lack of passing. So, you know, great start for him. Golden State, they are 1-2 so far. So, yeah, not off to a terrible start, but we'll keep an eye on them. And also DeJuan Blair. DeJuan Blair is just a tough guy. He's undersized, but he knows how to play. And we thought it was a lot of people thought that was a steal of the draft. So far, he's averaging kind of close to a double-double, 9.8 and 8.5. Great start for DeJuan Blair. What else is on your mind, Greg?
Well, you look at the big story earlier in the week. Two of the best point guards in the league, Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo, had a little bump in.
Oh,
had
yeah,
a little square off. And for the most part, these are two competitive guys who want to win every night. This is not something that they would take off the court. You're not going to hear about these two guys. You're not going to hear about Brandon Edwards punching anyone's friend at a nightclub or anything involving these two guys. They just are competitors. And that night, they got really heated. And for the most part, it's because they are two of the best point guards in the league. And if you look at the entire league right now in point guards, and if you look at our point guard rankings currently on CBSSports.com, we have Chris Paul at number one, Deron Williams number two, Gilbert Arenas number three, and Steve Nash number four. Now, for me, I'm a huge Rajon Rondo fan. I'm thinking he's got to be at least a top five point guard, right? Currently in our rankings, he sits at number nine. Now, when I looked and really broke down the numbers, it doesn't really equate everything that Rajon Rondo does. It's got points per game, rebounds, and assists. Now, right now, it's number two in assists, but points is only averaging 9.2, which compared to the other top point guards right now, is keeping him from being highly ranked in this ranking program. But if you look at the other things he does, number two in steals, we mentioned number two in assists. Again, that 4.1 assist to turnover ratio. An assist per 48 minutes, he would have 14.4. That's number two in the NBA to Nash. Now, if you look at that, you'd say, well, if he's getting all these minutes, where are the points? Out of the top 10 point guards, he has the lowest amount of minutes per game, only playing 32.2 per night. That's because they're blowing teams out, and he doesn't need to be on the court. if he was up there. If you look at Chris Paul, who's playing 37.8 minutes, Deron Williams is up near 40 minutes per night. So, of course, they're going to put up these bigger statistical games, but Rondo right now is making the most out of every single second that he spends on the court.
Well, to me, there's no doubt that Chris Paul is the best because he's like Steve Nash with defense. He gets the steals, and he's just he's a pest out there, and he is the best player. He's the best point guard in the NBA, in my opinion. He can turn it on in a second. If his team needs points, he'll start scoring. If his team needs him to distribute, he'll do that, and he's the only thing keeping that team afloat. I'm actually quite unimpressed with the Hornets right now. I mean, they lost to the Knicks. You don't lose to the Knicks. Even the Pacers don't lose to the Knicks. The Cavs are going to show you tonight how it's done against the Knicks. Deron Williams, I think, is the number two point guard in the league. And then after that, I like Nash better than Arenas. And I definitely like Rondo better than Arenas and maybe Billups. But I think Rondo right now is clearly a top five point guard.
I would have to agree. Like I said, I mean, if you look at the other things that he does on
the
court.
It's just the defense speaks for itself.
Absolutely. And that's a team that, really, they preach, play defense, beat the team, make sure they know they're beaten, and send them away. And that's what they've done. And for the most part, this is a team that, like you said, every single night defensively is going to bring it. Rondo will probably need to increase his scoring a little bit as the year goes on, but he's shooting good percentage. He's shooting 56.5 from the court. And right now he's made every single free throw that he's taken. So you're not going to want him to force up shots. And again, with his limited minutes, he's under 10 points per game. But I expect nothing but bigger things for Rondo in the second half or the rest of the season, I'm sorry. And this is a guy that, for the most part, 2 years ago, people thought was a detriment to this team. And now he's proven that not only does he belong, but he's one of the best in the league at what he does.
All right, now I wanted to talk about the Northwest Division because Denver's 5-0. They've got a 2.5 game lead on Oklahoma City, which is just still too young, and Kevin Durant misses too many shots for them to be taken seriously in this division. But Portland and Utah, and I had Portland going very far. I think I had them in the conference finals, losing to the Lakers. Portland's 2-3, and so is Utah. Utah, it's interesting. I looked at their stats. They, after the big win on Thursday night over the Spurs, they've made 16 three-pointers in 5 games. That is absolutely awful. Again, I said earlier, Channing Frye is 15 for Phoenix. They really need Kyle Korver to get healthy. And they are getting a little bit of help, though, from Wesley Matthews, a rookie out of Marquette. He looks good off the bench, but they need outside shooting. Utah, I don't think they're this bad. I think they're going to get better, clearly. They're not they're not an under 500 team. But Portland, I'm a little confused about. I'm surprised at the start that they're having right now.
Yeah, they definitely have gotten off to a slow start, and Brandon Roy is not having his best start to the season. He's a guy who clearly turned it around. And then Greg Oden is still not really establishing himself as who he really is in this league. Mm-hmm. He has a good night here and there, but he's not a consistent guy. And really on that team, the one who's struggling the most at this point is LaMarcus Aldridge, who's scoring down a little bit, rebounding down a little
14.6 and 7.2 for Aldridge. He's a better player than
that. Yes, definitely. I mean, he's a guy who at this point in his career should be approaching 20-10 numbers. He's a little bit banged up right now. So that team right now is searching for an identity. I feel like they search for an identity every single year because of the mix of players that they have right now.
You're right. Absolutely. All right, anything else, Greg?
No, again, looking forward to LeBron tonight at MSG. Who knows? Like I said earlier, I don't know if it's going to be a 50-point night or a 50-point triple-double. Either way, it's going to be entertaining because both he and Shaq are there. So they're going to both want to put on a show.
And he did not, as far as we know, attend the Yankees parade today.
Who knows, but he probably wore his Yankee hat as he walked into the locker room. But, again, it's going to be interesting to watch that tonight, without a doubt.
This is his only trip to Madison Square Garden. And, of course, by the time many of you hear this podcast, that game will already have been over, so you'll know the result. Although I think we probably know the result before it even gets played. Who knows, though? The Cavs, again, 3-3, off to a slow start. One of the surprising teams. All right, my last question for you. Next time we do this podcast, and by the way, to all of our listeners out there, we're going to be doing more and more. It's going to be more than a once-a-week thing. We're still trying to figure that out. But next time we do a podcast, like we said, in the Southeast, the Hawks and the Heat are both 4-1. Which team's going to have a better record? Which team do you think is better?
Without looking at the schedule, I would have to go
with... You want me to cheat for you?
I would have to go with the Hawks. Just because they're just a deeper team at this point. The Heat are playing very well. They're getting a great contribution from Udonis Haslem on a nightly basis. And that's what you need. He's really hitting down that 15-footer.
All right, the next three games for the Hawks are at Charlotte, hosting Denver on back-to-back, and then later in the week, next Wednesday, they play the Knicks.
So that's
probably
two out of three.
All right, give me a second. I'll look up the Heat. I know you kind of hated on the Heat.
I did not. No, again, I didn't know what to expect from them. and really, I have to give it up to that coaching staff of the Miami Heat to come out and play this well at the beginning of the year. It really shows that they looked at the talent they had and they came up with a game plan, and they've really been able to instill it.
You're probably going to be right. Oh, this is a great home schedule now for the Heat. They've got Denver coming in tonight. They got Washington next Tuesday. And they've got the Cavs next Thursday. So three tough home games, and they follow that up with New Jersey on Saturday. I think the Hawks have a better record than the Heat, but I think the Heat are a pretty damn good team.
Got a shot. The Denver game is going to be tough, and then LeBron coming to town, it's just going to be fun. I believe we're going to be there to talk with LeBron and Wade. And anytime those two are on the court, there's a rivalry of greatness, not a rivalry between two players. It's a rivalry of greatness. They want to be the greater of the two players.
And there's a respect.
Absolutely. Well, they played on that Olympic team. They really grew to love one another. And for the most part, it'll be interesting to see, hey, maybe the two of them will sign the same team at the end of this year. Who knows?
Maybe. I doubt it, but maybe.
It'd be amazing.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your basketball. I'm Adam Azer with Greg Urbano for CBSSports.com.